Attorney General Pam Bondi is directing federal prosecutors to seek the death penalty for Luigi Mangione if he is in fact convicted of the December murder of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson. One of the federal charges against Mangione is murder through use of a firearm, which does make him eligible for the death penalty if he is convicted. But when's the last time we've heard about the death penalty being used, especially in New York? To talk more about the likelihood of this happening and the legality around it, our legal expert, Attorney Bill Bloss, joins us now. Attorney Bloss, welcome back. So let's start with, when's the last time we saw the death penalty being used, especially in New York? I do know it's legal there.
Well, it's legal if the federal authorities are able to convict somebody. The state of New York and the federal government are separate sovereigns. So even though New York does not have the death penalty, the federal government still can pursue the death penalty. I think the most recent example of a state that doesn't have the death penalty, but the federal government pursuing it was in the Boston Marathon bombing with the Tsarnaev of Massachusetts did away with the death penalty. But the federal government nonetheless pursued it and was able to get a guilty verdict and the death penalty. So it happens. It's rare, but it does happen.
So I stand corrected. So it is not. So at the state level, New York State does not allow the death penalty. I thought they did.
No.
Oh.
No, I think only for murder in the first degree, which is actually the killing of a law enforcement officer.
Okay.
So this would not qualify for the death penalty in New York.
Got it. Interesting. So that is interesting to me, though, Attorney Bloss. So if the federal government essentially, you know, convicts, they can call for this even if a state doesn't allow for the death penalty. I didn't realize that.
Oh, sure. Yeah. No, I mean, theoretically, Connecticut does not have the death penalty. But theoretically, if there was a murder in Connecticut that qualified under a federal statute for the death penalty, the federal government could pursue it. Sure.
I'm kind of surprised then, Attorney Bloss, that they're able to, that we don't see the death penalty used more. Like, I'm a little taken aback by that. I mean, I personally, call me the Christian. I'm not saying that I certainly condone the actions of Luigi Mangione, but I'm not, you know, necessarily for or against, if you will, the death penalty. I'm sort of surprised, though, that just human nature and how people act, I should say, that it's not used more, because I feel like the federal government has that kind of power. It doesn't really even matter if the states allow it or not. If the federal government, under their jurisdiction, if they're able to order it, they can, essentially.
Well, sure, they could. The question, though, is a matter of priorities. You know, is it something that, and look, every murder is horrible.
Exactly.
Right. Let's start off at that point.
But, right.
You know, as a matter of federal prosecutorial priorities, are they going to necessarily key in on something that happens in, you know, wherever that's a drug deal gone bad or something else? I mean, they could, at least in some circumstances, depending on the issue and depending on how the murder is committed. Not every murder falls under federal jurisdiction, by the way. There has to be a hook that provides federal jurisdiction, and mostly it's because of interstate travel or interstate commerce. You know, Mangione is charged with interstate stalking, which is a kind of a domestic violence sort of a crime, but that does not make him eligible for the death penalty. It's because of the gun that traveled in interstate commerce that he's eligible for the death penalty. My suspicion is there's going to be a pretty robust challenge to federal jurisdiction here, whether there is actually a federal hook, a federal interest that would allow the prosecution to proceed. But, you know, call me back in 6 months and, you know, we'll find out where that is.
Yes, I know. And I can always rely on you. Again, Bill Bloss, who is our legal expert here on Melissa in the Morning. He isn't, you know, in this case. He's not working on this case. But I always love to get Bill's perspective on these things because he understands that this is what he does for a living. And he's been doing it for a while. And so I it's interesting. So, Bill, if I'm understanding you correctly, so because this involves multiple states, essentially, that's why it falls under, you know, the feds getting involved, essentially. But I do think it's really, it sounds like it's not sort of a done deal. So just because pen to paper, Pam Bondi, you know, would like to see this happen, it's going to be, I would imagine, a pretty lengthy process to get that approval.
Well, that's right. There's almost certainly going to be a challenge to federal jurisdiction here. And so, the claim that the gun having traveled in interstate commerce gives the federal courts jurisdiction over this is not a layup at all. That is something, you know, that would make any murder with a gun a matter of federal jurisdiction, because basically every gun travels in interstate commerce. So I would expect some kind of a pretty interesting, robust challenge to it.
So I just want to make it super clear for people, Attorney Blas. So if Mangione is convicted, it still is not a done deal that he would face the death penalty.
Well, and that's actually a really good point. The jury that would hear his case comes from Manhattan, the Bronx, and Westchester County. That's the Southern District of New York. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, those it would not that that is not going to be a death penalty like a supportive jury pool as a general matter. So even if he's convicted, a jury could say, you know, we're not going to give him the death penalty. That's not in the cards. It's not impossible, you know, as in the Boston Marathon bombing, that pool came from Eastern Massachusetts or all of Massachusetts, and he still got the death penalty. So it can happen now. And it's interesting, the United Healthcare executive, you know, there's this huge kind of, I don't know, there's almost a political edge to it.
Yes,
you know,
I agree.
Right? How do people feel about it? I think that's going to be a harder case to get the death penalty than the Boston Marathon bombing.
I think so too.
By a long shot.
I think so too. Well, because Bill Blas, I mean, we talk about it on this show all the time. There are many, many, many people in this country who, while they may not condone murder, they stand by what Luigi Mangione did, which was he stood up to these insurance companies that make a lot of money. And are not following through with the patient over profits. And so there are people, I mean, buying T-shirts and mugs and actually supporting a murderer in this case because of what he stood for. And so I think you've got a much bigger uphill challenge versus, you know, two kids who killed people who were running a race. I think it's a totally different circumstance that we're living in now with the Luigi Mangione case.
Well, sure. The solution to the healthcare problem in America is not to shoot
murder people.
Executives.
Correct.
Let's start off there.
Exactly.
Okay? So, but it is not just pure. Like the Tsarnaev case, I think, is pretty clearly just pure terrorism.
Correct.
Right. It was
correct.
It was intended to scare and frighten people running a race, right? You know,
correct.
People living their lives. It doesn't take a lot to hang a jury that's deliberating the death penalty. It takes one person out of 12 to say, I'm not going to do this. And so I think it's a much tougher road for the government, for the federal government, than it is for the in the Boston Marathon case.
Interesting. Yeah. And again, I always appreciate the perspective and the comparison, because, again, when you even hear about the death penalty, I feel like it's a term that gets tossed around sort of loosely, because we really don't see it come to fruition as often as maybe it is mentioned. But even when you compare the last time we've seen this with the Boston Marathon, you know, versus what's gone on here, it's certainly those are two different situations. I think they're viewed, I should say, two different situations. Murder is murder. But the way that they're viewed, I think you'll see the jury sort of struggle with this one. I don't know. At least I'm seeing that as a reporter. I'm seeing people actually I mean, it's kind of surprising, in my opinion, that anybody would struggle with saying, okay, so a guy was deserved murder. No, but there are people who feel like, oh, well, look at the principle. It's like, but that is a real narrative out there, Bill Blass. It's real.
Yeah, it is. And let me say one other thing. I've represented people that are doing long prison sentences. I've represented people that have been, you know, that are basically going to never get out of prison.
Yeah.
The difference, a life sentence without the possibility of parole is not a picnic. All right. It is not a good way to live the rest of your life. Mm. So I understand I've represented people that were convicted of a murder that they did not commit and that they wound up being exonerated. So, you know, I don't think that's going to happen here in the Mangione case, but it happens startlingly frequently. So, you know, I'm not a death penalty supporter. I don't think it accomplishes what we want it to accomplish, and I think it's too prone to mistakes. But it is on the books, at least for the feds and for the federal government. But I think, you know, the thought that a life sentence without parole is not an adequate punishment, I think, doesn't really correlate with what the reality is of what a life sentence in prison means. It's a terrible existence. It's a terrible way to live, but, you know, earned because of taking someone else's life. I mean, right. There has to be some consequence to that. Sure.
Exactly. Attorney Bill Blass, I love having these conversations with you and sort of, you know, pulling back the lens a little bit on the legality around it and really understanding it. So I thank you so much for the perspective always on the show.